about? What comes to mind?
We didn't make enough plays, especially down the end. You know, I thought we put ourselves in a hole. We were down 22-7 at one point. And there's a million things to go through your mind. You lost the game by two, missed a 54-yarder. We had the ball inside the 20, but then probably a bad call with a screen pass, got us minus eight. Then we took a sack on the next play that put us back another 11 or 12. We ended up having like a third and 23 when we had the ball on the 15-yard line. You think about that series right there. If we had just kicked the field goal, we probably would have been in a better situation. You know, we had to attempt too long a field goal with night game, cold. And then not containing Darren on the last kickoff, you know, I think was a big turning point in that game. They got the ball out, plus the penalty out past, you know, midfield. So a lot of different things when I think about that game.
Chip, you referenced the state of kicking in the league. There have been 17 missed extra points. Has your opinion changed at all in terms of two-point conversions, your approach to it?
Not right now, no. The ball hasn't moved. I think my whole opinion was they were asking you to go for two, but they never enticed you. They never moved it to make going for two. Going for two is still difficult. I haven't looked at the stats. What are the stats? 15, so it's 50%. It's about the same thing. You know, you're not 50% on extra points, but you're 50%. But then you get an extra point when you get that. So I haven't really looked at it that way. I'm not about it yet.
Caleb. Sturgis said earlier in the week that he was appreciative of, you know, everybody showing him support. How do you handle a kicker coming off a game like he had? Do you do anything different? Talking to him
more. No, but I think all of us contributed to the loss. I mean, you can't pin that on one guy where he missed a kick, so we lost the game. You know, I didn't call a good game. You know, we made other mistakes and other players, so it doesn't come down to one player. I think all of us, and we talked about as a group, if we can just be one play better as a group, we got a shot at it. So it doesn't always fall on just one individual's shoulders. So. I stress that to the entire team. Just like it's not one individual player that was the reason we lost that football game. But there was a lot of us that could have made another play. And if someone, just one of us made one more play, then we have an opportunity to win the football game.
Even though they're a year removed, Malcolm and Darren, do you believe the guys who played for the team you're about to play can generally help you with a game plan?
I mean, I think they understand it. That they're different, though. Defensively, they're different. You know, they were more of a 3-4 team, I think, when Malcolm was there. They're not. They're more of a 4-3 team now. So they've evolved in the 2 years since Malcolm's been removed from them. And then offensively, I think Darren understands Sean. But I think what Sean does such a great job of, and why he's a hell of a football coach, is that he always utilizes his personnel. So the personnel is different. Jimmy Graham's not there anymore. You know, they were very, when we played them 2 years ago, they were a very tight end centric operation in terms of trying to get the ball, and rightly so because of the talent that Jimmy Graham is. But you know, it's a different kind of group. You got different groups of receivers out there. So I think he obviously Darren has a great understanding of the offense, but the offense is catered to the individuals there, and the individuals are different than when he was there.
You mentioned on Monday that the running back on the first run play kind of didn't go the right direction. Maybe
I didn't say he didn't go the right direction. I said he could have bounced it outside.
He could have bounced out. I mean, yeah. Do you view that as leading yards out there on the field?
I just made that as a point that it's not always it's when we're running the football, it's a group deal. It's not just always on the offensive line. That sometimes it could be a different variation. If we bounced it, maybe we get a couple more yards than we did. That's all I'm saying.
In watching film with DeMarco, then we've seen him constantly get caught in the backfield when guys are shooting through and guys aren't blocking. Do you feel like there's opportunities?
I would not make that correlation. So I would not go there. You can go there, but I don't go there.
No, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just wondering, is he not?
And I say no. No. No.
I think you've been asked some sort of variation of this question, but the idea that DeMarco is a volume runner where he needs a certain amount in order to get going, do you buy into that, and how do you?
No, I think the big misconception is DeMarco was hurt and didn't play against the Jets and didn't practice a ton last week, so we're trying to get him back up to speed. So I don't look at, you know, he carried the ball zero times versus the Jets because he was hurt. And then he didn't practice every day last week, so we didn't know how much of a volume we could have with him. So
is he a volume runner, though? I mean,
I don't know what volume runner is. I never looked at things like that.
He said he wanted to get lathered up, right? So, you know, get like a certain amount of carries, like 20, 25 carries.
Yeah, but if you have 22 carries for 0 yards, we better call another play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I would love to get everybody in a right lather and going, but, you know, when we're not having success running the ball at all, then it's tough to say, hey, we're just going to make sure we get him 22 carries and he's lathered up. I mean, it's the entire group, and it's not just one player that's involved in it. It's the entire group involved in us being successful rushing the football. So
how much of that falls on the running backs? How much is on the offensive line?
Falls on everybody. Falls on the play calls, falls on the play designs, it falls on the offensive line, it falls on the receivers, it falls on the quarterback, it falls on everybody. It's on the entire offense contributes to our success or non-success. It's not an individual sport. This isn't tennis. This isn't golf. You just can't say it's this guy's fault. It's not that way. It's not the way the sport's set up. It's not the way the sport's ever been. So,
since you had a who's who this week on your offensive line, who's going to be?
No, we don't. I mean, that's a good question, and we don't. You know, we'll see. Lane's going to go today and see how much he can go today. JP will go today. I don't know how much he'll go today, but I was told he was going to try to do some things today. Allen went full yesterday, but we'll see how Allen is as we progress through the week, and we still have Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, but we don't have that answer right now. Not on Thursday.
So. Do you still plan on having Lane do some work and left tackle?
We'll see how he goes through training and, you know, and how he feels. And it's tough to put a lot on his plate if we, you know, he starts to do some things and says he doesn't feel, you know, right. So we'll just monitor that as we go.
Jim, you guys started 1-3 in your first year, and you guys rebounded, made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you can look back to that season as a coach or things you did? I know it's different players, but grasp some things from that to help you in this scenario and the hole you guys are in?
I mean, I know we had the same record, but I think it was different circumstances and different, again, different players, a different time, a lot of newness to what we were doing. You know, you played 3 games in 11 days to open the season. We opened on a Monday night, played a Saturday, Sunday, and then played again on a Thursday. You know, so the schedule was different. So there's a lot of different things. So I don't think there's a lot, aside from the record being the same, that is the same. These players come out here every day and work. And I said that, you know, immediately after the game. It's not a matter of effort. It's a matter of execution. And that's what we all have to do a better job so that we can execute better.
Does Jarrisburg change how Rob Ryan does anything with safeties?
I don't know, because the only game we've seen is the last game, and he didn't play. He played in their sub packages. He didn't play in their base packages. So, you know, I'm sure Rob's happy to have him back. Jarris is a hell of a football player. But we don't know how they're totally going to deploy him because he didn't play in the first 3 games. And he did play against Dallas, but it was only in sub package. It was only in sub look. So you don't know what he's like if he's out there in base defense. So.
Both Vanderbilt and Josh Andrews are inside guys. If Jason Peters is down, is that a problem having your two backup guys?
Yeah, because you have Dennis, and Dennis can also play tackle, and Tobin can play tackle. So, you know, we kind of have a center guard combo. We have two. If you look at the way it was set up with 9 guys, you have, you know, we had 2 center guards and Julian and Josh, and we have 2 guard tackles in Tobin and Dennis. So.
The last 2 times we've talked to you, it feels like you've been putting more on your own shoulder in terms of responsibility. After a Monday, you were pointing to execution.
Execution is all of us. It's just your interpretation. It's always on our shoulders. You know, if we don't win, I think every person in this organization takes responsibilities. And one thing I'm proud of this group is we don't make excuses or allow others to make excuses for us. If we don't win, we are what we are. We're 1-3 football team. So that falls on everybody's shoulders in this organization, coaching staff, players. We're all in this thing together, and it's not one individual's fault. I think I've tried to stress that you just can't blame it on this person. It's not just one individual's fault. It's all of us collectively have to come together, and that's the message I've had to our team. So if it's been interpreted here differently, it really doesn't matter to me. I know the message that's sent to our team, and I think they understand that.
You're using a lot less 12 personnel this year so far. What's been driving that?
I think how people defend 12 personnel, what that gets you from them. So when we put a personnel grouping in the field, what does it elicit from them? And then that becomes part of your determination. What do you want to face? You know, so you can say, hey, I want to feature this, but if they say we're going to do that, maybe that doesn't match up with what we want to get accomplished. So that's really always how we base our decisions in terms of what personnel groupings we're going to deploy.
Generally, when you play 11s a lot, I mean, you're looking for the defenses to bring out nickel, right? I mean,
that's what people have done, yeah.
Yeah.
2 more guys. The way they use their running backs, how big of a challenge and what kind of challenge does that present for your backers and your safeties?
Well, you know, obviously Spiller's a very talented player, you know, outstanding speed guy, you know, and that was evident in overtime. You know, the linebacker for Dallas was matched up on him, and he just ran by him, you know, and it was an 80-yard touchdown to end the game. So you got to be conscious of him, but the other 2 guys can be used. You know, Ingram is a tough, hard-nosed, physical runner, and Kyrie Robinson can kind of do it both. So I think you got to be aware of who's in the game. Obviously, I think there's a little bit more of a deep passing threat when CJ's there as opposed to Ingram in there, but that doesn't mean it's not a challenge when Ingram's in there because he's such a physical runner.
Did you try and get Spiller?
Did we what?
Did you guys try and get Spiller?
Did we try to?
Previously.
No. I thought you meant did we try to trade for him? No, we weren't involved with Spiller.
Is Reese
unblitzable? I mean, or is unblitzable as?
That's a good question.
And I mean,
unfortunately, unfortunately, the answer may be yes. You know what I mean? I mean, he's one of the all-time great quarterbacks playing this league, and I think he's just so in tune to what they're doing, and he's so sharp in what they do, and you know, you listen to his work ethic and how much he studies and how much he works at the game, and it makes it very, very difficult. But I hope the answer isn't yes. You know, we'll find out on Sunday.
Yeah.
Thanks.